Hi, Jason.
He said hi. He actually yelled it, but these microphones are so good, you couldn't hear him. I probably shouldn't lie. He wasn't yelling. He was very nice. He's a producer. He knows how
to act. Don't lie first thing.
Oh, don't lie. Okay.
Keep the lies for later on.
You know, if you really play that out, I'd rather lie now. Because here we are on Mixed Messages with Jeff Bogue, where we're trying to cut through the noise, Jeff.
Uh-huh.
We're trying to cut through the lies and cut through all of that stuff that's out there around us and bring a clear message on what to believe and how to follow after Jesus. So
I think that's a very, very admirable goal.
I think it is, too. We want to kind of help, you know, maybe we can help you sort through some of this stuff, Jeff.
Maybe.
And maybe some of our listeners, too. Should we dive in?
Yes, let's.
Okay, let's dive in. All right. So this episode is actually going to be a little bit unique.
Okay.
We've had some questions, and here's what's fun about these questions. These questions were actually all submitted by one of our kid listeners.
Oh.
So we have listeners of all ages on this podcast, and sometimes the questions come in, and if the two of us are being honest, we could answer them in probably like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And so those ones rarely hit an episode by themselves.
Right.
Because it's like, who wants to turn onto a podcast for 6 minutes?
Not me.
I mean, and there are some out there actually that, but not ours. Yeah. That's not us. So we're going to hit a few of these questions. And I think that these are some that, especially with a little bit more response, could actually be helpful for all of our listeners because they're not always that well known. So here are a couple of these quick hit questions. Let's start here, Jeff.
Okay.
Did Jesus call his 12 disciples or apostles? And is there a difference between those two words? Because oftentimes they are kind of thrown around almost interchangeably. So what's going on there?
Did Jesus call them apostles or disciples? It's an interesting thing. So Jesus did call his disciples, and we call them disciples, but he called all of his followers disciples.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just the 12.
Yep.
So the 12 were like the main ones that, you know, that we would think Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, those guys, and the rest of them that we would think about, Peter and all those guys. But a disciple, the word disciple really means like apprentice or student or learner. Mm-hmm. So in essence, you and I would be a disciple of Jesus.
Sure.
We would be one of the disciples,
right?
So it wasn't, that term wasn't locked down just to those 12 guys. So it's that idea. So it's a descriptor. So what Jesus did, Jesus had disciples that he spent a chunk of time with, which we would call the 12.
Mm-hmm.
He had a disciple that he calls himself abnormally born. That was the Apostle Paul. So mm-hmm. Jesus like met him on the Damascus Road, and we would have a lot of information about that encounter. And then all of the disciples. So there were people who were very faithful to Jesus, like the 500 people that saw him be crucified and then go back to heaven or ascend back to heaven. And then there were like bad disciples, like the after Jesus said, I am the Christ and the living God, a bunch of people left. Mm-hmm. The Bible says a bunch of his disciples left because they didn't want to believe that part. So just think of that as like, that word is like learner or student or follower,
mm-hmm,
okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the word apostle is something different. So the word apostle means one who is sent out with authority. And this is where the scripture does use the word apostle, and then the church will use it a lot. So like you'll hear me, you might hear me or you, Joe, say the apostle Peter.
Mm-hmm.
So the apostle Peter was sent out by Jesus to help facilitate the beginning of the church and to help the good news of Jesus take root.
Mm-hmm.
We'll say the Apostle Paul. Mm-hmm. So the Apostle Paul, he was a disciple, but he was also an apostle.
Yep.
Okay? So he was given a special authority by Jesus, a special set of spiritual gifts, and he went and established something or like broke the ground of something new. So even today, the Bible says that in the church, God gave some to be apostles,
mm-hmm,
some to be teachers, some. And what we mean by that, what the scripture means by that, and then how the church would translate that into action is we would look and say that some people have an apostolic gift. They can see, they can like envision a future, and then they have like the ability to start it and move it.
Uh-huh.
So as an example, that would be one of my spiritual gifts.
Yep.
So I can start things,
uh-huh.
and I can make an idea, I can communicate it so it makes sense to other people. And I don't think that's because I'm like wickedly talented. I think it's one of my spiritual gifts, mm-hmm. that makes sense.
It's almost, what's fun about that one, Jeff, because I would completely affirm that, is it's almost so much a spiritual gift, you almost can't explain how you know or think what you know and think in those cases.
Yeah.
It's that much of a spiritual thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I have to, I'll feel it or sense it,
yep.
so to say, before I can put words to it. So that gift is very much alive and well.
Yep.
That gift has authority with it. Now, that authority doesn't mean that I walk around in robes and get special parking spots. Mm-hmm. What it means is it's a relational spiritual authority in which when I say, hey, guys, what if we started 30 churches in 30 years? I feel like God's calling us to do that. That is listened to and embraced, mm-hmm. in a different way. And that gift is a part. The Bible says that gift is a part of the church, yep. on an ongoing basis. I'm not obviously the only one that has that gift. I'm just trying to explain it. And it is very much alive and active. Part of what has changed there is, and it does not apply to everybody, is when the Apostle Paul or the Apostle Peter, we also tie scripture to their apostolic calling,
mm-hmm.
where they're like, this is what the Lord says, or this is what the Lord means. Mm-hmm. And so the Apostle Peter would be like, this is what the Lord says or said. The Apostle Paul would be like, so because Jesus said that, what you should do in the church is you should do this. And we would give a unique authority, mm-hmm. to those two examples because a unique authority was given to them by Jesus himself.
Uh-huh.
So Jesus himself interacted with the Apostle Paul. Jesus himself, of course, interacted with the Apostle Peter. Jesus himself is not interacting with Jeff in that way.
Right.
So I would never say, this is what the scripture actually says.
Uh-huh.
I would say, this is what the Apostle Paul said the scripture says.
Yeah, right.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So it changes a little bit, but it's still active. But I would say it this way. Everyone is to be a disciple. Every follower of Jesus is to be a disciple. Some are sent out in a unique way with an apostolic gift. Mm-hmm. And the church still works that way, mm-hmm. minus we're not writing the Bible. The Holy Spirit is not working through us to write the Bible. Mm-hmm. We're reading the Bible, uh-huh. and following what the Holy Spirit directed those first apostles to give to us.
Yeah, very, very helpful. All apostles were disciples because they were followers of Jesus. Some are gifted to be apostolic, and those 12 had a unique authority given by Jesus. I love that. That's very helpful.
The quickest way I can explain that, I hope it makes sense. Great question, though.
It's so good.
I'm so good. Man, that's awesome. This is a smart kid. Smarter than me.
Will. No. our next question really stems from an idea of where Jesus is from. So the question is, why do people call Jesus of Nazareth if he was born in Bethlehem? So if you read through the scripture, oftentimes it is Jesus of Nazareth. I say that 3 times fast. Apparently that's difficult. But like every Christmas, we're like, but Jesus was born in Bethlehem. We all know that. How do those two sync up?
Yeah, so it's the difference between where Jesus was born in his hometown. So Joe, ask me where I'm from.
Jeff, where are you from?
I'm from Beaver Creek, Ohio.
Beaver Creek, where is that?
It's down near Dayton.
No, I know.
Ask me where I was born.
Where were you born, Jeff?
Kettering, Ohio.
Where's that?
Right next to Beaver Creek.
Oh, okay.
Where the hospital is.
Okay.
Okay. So I was born in...
There's not a hospital in Beaver Creek?
No, not a hospital in Beaver Creek. There may be now. It's been a long time since I've been there. Where I was born is different than my hometown.
Mm-hmm.
But if you said to me, probably if you said to me, where are you from? I'd say Beaver Creek.
Mm-hmm.
I'd actually probably say Dayton.
Sure.
Which is a Beaver Creek's a suburb of. So that's a little bit of the difference. Now, this is why the Bible is important this way. Jesus needed to be born in Bethlehem. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Joseph and Mary would have traveled, so to say, from Nazareth over to Bethlehem. By the way, they were doing that to go pay their taxes. Mm-hmm. You know,
the census
and all that kind of stuff. But Jesus needed to be born in Bethlehem because there's a prophecy in the scripture that says that the Son of Man or the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Mm-hmm. So that didn't happen because Joseph and Mary were trying to trick people. That is the hand of God moving things in uniting and kind of weaving scripture together. So he was born in Bethlehem. The star initially appeared over Bethlehem. And that's what the wise men were looking for. Mm-hmm. It's part of what the shepherds recognized. It's part of what gave Jesus so much credibility that he truly was the Messiah, because mm-hmm. that prophecy was fulfilled. After Joseph and Mary were part of the census and they went back to Nazareth, then he was raised in Nazareth, which was a little village Joseph was a carpenter in, and Jesus' siblings, his earthly siblings, were born in, and he would have lived his life there. And as far as we know, he would have spent his life until he was about 30 years old in Nazareth. Mm-hmm. Right? He traveled in and out a little bit. There's an account or so of in the Bible of Mary and Joseph doing that, but that was his hometown and where he grew up.
Yep, it's funny. I love you know, where are you from, and Beaver Creek, what a great town to be from. But it's a lot of people from the Akron area would try to like finagle, like, well, Steph Curry's from Akron.
Yeah.
He was born in Akron, so that's right. True, but he grew up in Charlotte.
Right.
Like, that's really where he's from. Like, he's not going to Luigi's when he's in town. He's not going back to Swenson's like LeBron does when he comes back to town. Like, he's not from Akron, but he was born here.
That's right.
And so it's very comparable. Yeah, yeah. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but he's from Nazareth.
Yeah.
On
his birth certificate, Steph Curry's birth certificate, it says Akron, Ohio.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yep. But he ain't from here.
He ain't from here. I would have taken him about 10 years ago. He's kind of past his prime a little bit.
That's right. Apparently LeBron's not, though. Like,
LeBron is like this ridiculous
freak
of nature.
Like, yeah, just he's crazy. Fun. 41 years old and playing better than a lot of people do in their 20s.
Yeah.
Like, it's just ridiculous. Right. Anyway, that's, again, great question. And because if you're not looking into that, that can be confusing. So thank you for asking that one. Here's our third and final one for today, Jeff. Are dinosaurs real? The question continues, because God never really mentions them in the Bible. Yeah, that's a fascinating one, actually. Like, were they real? And that's the end of our podcast. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I saw a documentary recently where they took the DNA. Have you seen this? They took the DNA of a dinosaur and reproduced dinosaurs.
Where'd they get that DNA from?
What was it?
Is it a mosquito trapped in
ember? Yeah,
I saw
a mosquito trapped in the ember.
Yeah.
They got the blood out of it on this island, and then they grew full-size dinosaurs, and they wanted to turn the island. Have you seen this documentary?
What's hysterical, Jeff, is this question being asked by a kid. This movie is probably like 18 years older than this kid.
Well, it's an old documentary, but they've been doing other episodes of
that's
it lately.
That's true, yeah.
But basically, they turned the island into an amusement park where you can see the dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, it doesn't go well. It doesn't go well at all. So, yeah, it's a thing.
No, it doesn't. Wow.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't go well.
No, it doesn't.
They don't. Dinosaurs and people don't mix too well. Here's the thing. Dinosaurs are 100% real. Absolutely, they existed. There's no question about that. Are they mentioned in the Bible? They possibly. The Bible mentions a creature called Behemoth. Mm-hmm. And in the book of Job, and there's a lot of speculation that that might be a dinosaur, mm-hmm. or the leftover descendants of a dinosaur. So the big theory would be this, that it's called the creation theory, would be this, that the dinosaurs were wiped out by the flood, mm-hmm. the Noah's flood. That's part of why we find their remains and their fossils so deep underground, because the sediment changed. It's very obvious when you look at the world. you have the ice ages, you have all this kind of stuff, but there's a real argument to be made, and you got to look into it. There's a real argument to be made that there was a global flood.
Mm-hmm.
And tied to that argument is the idea that the earth was covered in a vapor barrier, so to say. So the whole planet would have been like a jungle, which gives life to reptilian life and something as big as dinosaurs, because it's the climate itself would allow for that.
Mm-hmm.
Dinosaurs don't do good in the cold, all those kind of things. There's a theory, and it's a theory. You got to look into it. You got to weigh it. There's a theory that when the flood happened, God released that that layer, and that's what the rain was, because it seems like that when it started to rain in the account of Noah, that that was a new thing that people weren't used to, and so the climate changed, the rains fell, the earth flooded. It would have wiped out the dinosaurs, the adult ones anyways, and it would have changed the climate in such a way that that type of animal didn't thrive again on the planet. Now, part of why that's a real theory to consider and look into is because we know with modern science that that happens all the time. So the woolly mammoth, which is a cold weather animal, was wiped out by some kind of climate change. Did a meteor hit the earth? Was it tied to the flood? I'm like, I don't know. These are things you have to investigate. And a lot of different things can make sense. But the climate change. We know that when you introduce certain types of animals into certain types of environment, they thrive. So this is happening with the boa constrictors in Florida right now. They got loose and they're thriving and they're wiping out an ecosystem because they weren't there naturally. They got introduced. So if you think about all of this in those ways, like the dinosaurs absolutely existed, something altered the climate of the earth, something flooded, like there was a major catastrophic event. The Bible says that there was a worldwide flood. We do know that meteors hit the earth. We know that all this stuff has happened. You know, volcanoes erupt, et cetera. And it changed the climate in such a way that dinosaurs, especially the big, big ones, can't exist in the same way. Now, you can also argue that miniature versions of dinosaurs still exist. So alligators and iguanas and Komodo dragons.
Some birds, they say.
And some birds, you know. And so you get into the science of all of it. It's kind of fascinating. And while I do not believe in Big Bang evolution, I believe that God created and he created with intelligent design. I do believe in small-scale evolution.
Microevolution.
That microevolution, that things change, climates change. I don't believe it's always earth-shattering. But climate also cycles, you know. And all that affects animal life, and we know that. So that would have, those animals would have been wiped out before the majority of the Bible was recorded. Does that make sense? If it was from Noah's flood forward, the Bible says that every form of animal was put onto the ark two by two, and you would just simply look and say those could have been eggs, or those could have been small infant animals. So those big animals weren't aggressive or violent in those ways because of their size. The Bible does not say every species of animals survived after the flood.
Right.
And so that's kind of what we've
even seen in our lifetime, different animals going extinct for one reason or another. They're no longer around. Well, that had to have played out over the last 4,000 to 5,000 years where different animals didn't make it.
100%. And this happened, like just 5 or 7 years ago, all the ash trees in Ohio were killed. I had 8 of them in my backyard. The ash borer and wiped out a species of trees. There's the chestnut trees about 100 years ago in Ohio. I know this because my home, which my home's 187 years old, part of it is built with wormy chestnut. A worm got into the chestnut trees and wiped out chestnut trees I think in North America, but certainly in Ohio. So this happens. This is part of nature.
Yeah.
There's no denying that. The fossil record is clear. There's no denying that. Of course, dinosaurs existed.
Mm-hmm.
And secular evolutionary theory, I don't agree with it. And I also don't think all of it is junk. Mm-hmm. Creationism and creation theory with intelligent design, if you've never studied that, there are valid and real arguments there. And then the scripture says what it says. The scripture says that there was a worldwide flood. The scripture says we were created by God. I do believe that because that part is clearly defined by scripture. How that plays out, when, where, why, is microevolution still happening? Obviously it is. That all affects the dinosaurs. Yeah. But dinosaurs were real. They were created by God. They might be mentioned in the Bible. We don't know.
Leviathan, behemoth, yeah.
Leviathan, behemoth, the Bible isn't super clear, you know, what that is, but something big, something natural is recorded there in scripture.
I love one of the things you just said there a minute ago, which basically was pure scientific process is always discovering what God has put into motion in his creation.
Perfect.
And so if it ever disagrees with what God has done, that means it has not discovered the fullness of what God has done.
That's right.
And so that's where like, oh, apparently there were dinosaurs. Look at these skulls. Okay, when and where and how? Like, okay, well, we don't know for sure exactly how that played out. And something else to look into that's kind of related to this conversation is go look into how the flood would have impacted how old we see certain things to be.
Yeah.
Because all of that water pressure and all of that would have changed what would have been, of course, like the carbon dating or, well, it's this many layers deep, et cetera. Well, the flood adjusts a lot of that scale timeline-wise.
Yeah, and that's super important. The other thing that's important there, when you look at carbon dating and how long does it take to make a diamond, how long does it take to make oil? One of the things that I think is important that the scripture is clear about is that the earth was created with age.
Correct.
Adam and Eve were not created as an egg and a sperm. They were created as adults. Mm-hmm. And the whales and the birds and the animals were created with maturity. So when God created the earth, the oil was in it. The diamonds were in it, and then the flood, and then nature, and then time. And so I think you have to be careful. We can close our minds to things because people tell us to, and we need to study the scripture. It is our base of truth. And then we need to look and say, well, wait a minute, there are ways to think about these things and not always throw babies out with bathwater. We were created and the earth was created. And I'm dogmatic about that because the scripture is clear about that.
Mm-hmm.
How does that creation, once God established it, how does it roll forward? I'm like, yeah, that's really fascinating to do. Mm-hmm. I tell you what, because this is a kids episode, first of all, great job, kids.
Yep,
I love it. There is in Copley a creation museum.
Yeah.
And it's really for kids, but moms, dads, that would be a Saturday visit where you could see these theories of creationism. Mm-hmm. And that's not going to show up in school, so it's just a different way to look at it, and it might get your mind thinking a little bit. There's also the Noah's Ark Museum down in Kentucky.
And the Creation Museum with it, yeah.
And the Creation Museum, and that's really fascinating.
It really is, yeah.
And again, you're not going to pick it up in school. Mm-hmm. And so it's a great place to go and at a minimum see like the other side of the thinking. Mm-hmm. I was talking to a friend the other day and I asked him, I said, how did you come to Christ? And he said, microbiology.
Hmm.
And I was like, okay, interesting. Now I'm really in on this story. And I said, what do you mean? And this guy is super smart. Great, great guy. I love this guy. And super, way smarter than me. He goes, I was studying the structures of atoms. I'm like, who doesn't? Who doesn't study the structure of atoms? He said, I was studying the structure of atoms. And he said, I realized there's no way this could evolve out of chaos.
Mm-hmm.
It had to be created. And he said, he did not believe in Jesus at the time. He said, I came to the conclusion, the scientific conclusion, that there had to be intelligent design. Something had to order this and set it in motion. And he said, when I came to the conclusion that there was intelligent design, I started studying where intelligent design is rooted, and you wind up in scripture. I started to study the scripture and the creation accounts, and I thought, this makes the most sense. And then as I studied the scripture more, the Bible says Jesus is the creator of all things. And he said, that's how I came to know Christ. Isn't that fascinating?
It's awesome.
And what he did was he opened his mind up to, like there's not very many serious scientists anymore that believe in the Big Bang.
Right.
You can't create nothing out of nothing. You can't create order out of chaos. And so he just opened his mind up to, like, maybe there's something else to know that I haven't considered. Mm-hmm. And it becomes a really important thing. So I'd say mom and dad, because it's kind of a kids episode, I guess. Like, I don't know. Go check that. It's right there in Copley on Clillamaston Road. You can't miss it. It's called the Akron Science and Fossil Museum.
Yeah, I would echo that. My daughter, they have some fun summer camps too, day camps. And those were some of my daughter's favorite ones. She loved doing those. And then the ones down in just outside of Cincinnati in Kentucky.
Right off 75.
Yeah, whatever age you are. I mean, I've seen buses full of retirees get off there. I mean, like, it's a fascinating experience. We've taken our nieces, nephews, and my daughter down there. We love it. All of those would be fascinating ways to kind of look at some of the stuff we've been talking about this last part.
And you see a different perspective that maybe you've never considered before. Yeah.
Super fun. I would echo again, good job, kids.
Yeah, great job, kid. That's fun. Keep sending those in, kids. We'll do that for you once in a while. That's a blast.
If you have questions like that you can tackle, you can head over to or have your parents head over to bath.gracechurches.org/mixed messages. Send them our way, and we would love to knock some of these out. If you are liking this podcast, make sure you subscribe, follow, rate, and review. Help others find it too. And of course, we would love to see you at Grace this weekend if you're checking things out and want to figure out how to pursue Jesus together. Thanks for jumping in with us today and continuing to seek God's voice through all of these mixed messages around us. We'll see you next time.